Good evening, everybody. Welcome. I'm Pam Sack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm so glad that you're with me tonight. It's a very, very special show for me and for my guests, multiple. I first want to introduce you to my special guest, author Catherine Jane. Catherine is a romance writer who happens to live in Canada. And with all that is happening up in Canada with the raging wildfires up there, she's a unique guest tonight because she's also an emergency responder for our four-legged companions. I want to welcome to the show right now Catherine Jane. Hi, Kat. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Pam?
Good. Sit closer up to your computer so I can hear you a little bit better. Thank you. Yeah, much better, as long as you get close to your speakers. I'm so glad that you and I are finally talking. We've done this Facebook thing for a while now, and I'm thrilled that you're here. But wait one second, because also I have some other special guests on the line with me. I'm also happy to welcome to the show a dear friend of mine who I love it when she calls in because she's so much fun. Author Selena Robbins. Hi, Selena. How are you?
Hi. Good. Thank you. Hi, Catherine. Hi, Selena.
Now,
what part of Canada are you from?
Sorry?
What part of Canada are you from?
The Vancouver area.
Okay. I'm in Ottawa.
Ah, opposite
okay.
side.
There you go. Okay. Now, I have someone from area code 302. Who's that?
Stephanie Jenkins.
Hi,
Raven
Stephanie.
Storm.
Yes,
my pen name is S. Raven Storm.
And are you Canadian also, darling?
No, I am in Dover, Delaware.
You're in Dover, Delaware. All right, I'm just going to put you on hold for a few minutes, but don't go away because I want
okay.
my two guests to be able to chat, okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I want to start off by welcoming both of my Canadian friends here. Catherine, let's chat about your books for a little bit. And for those of you who don't know, Catherine has fabulous, fabulous line of wonderful, wonderful romance. And I love the fact that what she says is, this is so great. She likes women who kick ass and the men who appreciate them. It kind of, sort of, I'm paraphrasing, but she's going to tell you exactly what it is. What is it you say about your women characters, Catherine?
Kick ass women and the men who dare to love them.
There you go. It is such a perfect description, because each and every one of her books has a very strong woman lead character, and I love that, because I think we're over the days of, unless you're writing historicals, of course, that women with fainting spells and, you know, having the vapors when they see a hot guy. I mean, listen, we see them and everything, but that's kind of crazy now. So I love it that you say you love penning stories about women with brass balls, mushy hearts, a great sense of humor, and a bit of ESP. Real women who have to work hard at understanding themselves and accepting the men who dare to love them. But before we get started on your books, will you please tell the story about how you lost a thoroughbred? I just am dying of curiosity. On an airplane. I'm dying of curiosity to hear this story.
Well, I was on a flight from Toronto to Vancouver, and in the crate, which is like a giant horse trailer on the inside, I had three horses, and the flight I was on is actually called a combo. The front half of the airplane, of a 747, is all passengers that were actually bound for Tokyo with a stop in Vancouver. And then there's a little hatch door that you go through to get into the cargo portion of the back of the plane. And I had to leave the horses back in the cargo, but then sit up in the front. But I kept going back and checking on them. And one time I'd been away from them for a half hour or so, I went back to check on them, and I got up inside of it, and there was only two horses there. And it's just a real moment of going where it can't go anywhere. Like, there's nowhere for
where
it to
get out. Where the hell are my horse?
Like, Where the heck is this horse? Oh, yeah. And, you know, and this was a horse probably worth about $50,000. So, you know, you don't want to lose one inside a plane because they can fall out. It's not nice.
Well, I'm envisioning the horse strapping on the parachute saying, I'm over this, open up the wing, and I'm going out. Okay, so that's not happening. How did you lose a horse on a plane? This is just too bizarre. Where was the horse?
She had actually laid down inside the stall. She had come out of her halter, which the halter was still sitting there tied to the support. She was the center horse, and the other two were standing there tamely, and she had simply laid down inside the crate, and being very dark inside there, I couldn't see her. So I ended up actually having to climb up inside and hang over the edge of the crate, and it doesn't sound very humane, but the only thing I could grab was her ears. And I give a tug on her ears, and she jumped up, and I had a horse again. But there was a moment in that I was just like, this can't be happening to me.
I love that story. I was reading it, I'm thinking, okay, I'll bite. How do you lose a horse on a plane? You know, so that's it. Horses occasionally figure into your stories, don't they?
Yeah, quite a bit. I trained racehorses for quite some years, and I can't seem to write a story that a horse doesn't show up somehow. And a few of the books have actually been centered around horse story type mysteries. So they're just there, animals of any kind, and it's who I am, so I can't help but them getting into my books.
Okay, so Do Not Tell Me No has a horse on the cover, as does Lies, one of your Intrepid Women books. So I want to start off by asking you about that very first book, which I believe was Do Not Tell Me No, Intrepid Women 1. Can you tell us about the story and why they received the name Intrepid Women?
This woman, she'd spent most of her adult life searching for her father and her brother, who they'd been separated when she was only 5 years old, and she'd been on a mission trying to find them, and not knowing why they had disappeared, and just the family had split up, and she didn't understand it, and that's very long and convoluted, but in the meantime. She thought she found her father, and there's a ranch involved, and there's a horse involved, and the horse disappears up into the mountains, and she goes after it, and she goes after it because she needs to save its life, because it's actually been, she believes, set up as a murderer. There's been some dead bodies, and they've sort of put the horse there going, oh yeah, the horse killed the guy, you know, that kind of thing, and she's determined to prove that this is actually complete nonsense.
Crap.
That's a better word. Yeah. Anyways, and that's where it sort of takes off from. But she's a really, really strong woman. She had a bit of a her mother wanted her and her sister to be models in New York and whatnot. So she's had an interesting childhood, came out the other end a really strong woman, and now she's fighting for this horse's life. And unfortunately, what she didn't know is there was a man that was supposed to be watching over her, and the last thing she needed was someone watching over her, so that didn't sit very well. But as she put it somewhere in the book, that she was certainly no damsel in distress. She'd look after herself, thank you very much. And so she goes through a lot as a person developing and having to learn to accept help, because she couldn't always be the person in charge, and she couldn't always be there to rescue herself. And sometimes you have to accept help whether you like to or not. So it's quite the personal development throughout it. And plus she does get to save the horse eventually. And there's a couple of very cool guys and a very special helicopter. Did I lose you? Hello.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I think I lost Pat or Pam. Sorry, why do I keep calling you Pat? Anyways, that's the basics of the story. And all of the women that I write about, I used to be a psychology major way back when too. So their angst and personal development are very much a part of all the books that I write, as well as the animals that are around. And just intrepid women to me is what most modern women are. They do what they have to do in order for their lives to work. They, whether they're moms, whether they're, you know, veterinarians, whether they're, you know, work in a gas station. It doesn't matter. Women have to be intrepid these days. And I just like to write about their struggles and how they come out the other end.
That sounds really good. I think women have always been strong.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They just weren't allowed to show their strength sometimes.
Exactly. And that's why I love to write about strong women, because they haven't looked like the norm in society, in spite of the fact that I personally believe women are the backbone of society and always have been. So it's, I just find great pleasure in showing and showcasing women that do pretty cool stuff just by being normal.
That we can do that in books, because they sure don't do it on television.
I know.
Or any of these reality shows where they have a bunch of women, you know, being so cranky with each other and just showing the stereotypical, you know, narcissistic and materialistic woman that's only concerned about her looks and what's for lunch.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm so sorry. I got dropped off myself. Bad weather here too, guys.
It's okay, Pam. I took over.
You know,
nicely done.
This is a good thing about having friends who's been on the show before. They know how to just go ahead and work it out. Thank you so much, Selena.
You're welcome.
Go ahead and continue with your interview. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we were just talking about, you know, like she writes very strong women. And I said, you know, we've always been strong. It's just that in certain generations, they weren't allowed to show that strength.
I agree.
I'm glad that authors are doing it, because they sure aren't doing it on television or in movies.
Boy, you're not kidding. Catherine, I also noticed on your Amazon page, you have pictures of horses and you have animals and all. I want to take kind of a little segue here to talk about your work as a first responder and also someone who is a rescuer of animals. Right now, part of Canada is burning. Thousands and thousands and thousands of residents and their pets are being displaced. You have worked very hard to try to help people who have animals in distress and animals in distress by themselves. Tell me what the situation is with right now with the animals who are in the fire areas.
Actually, it's turning out to be a better situation than we thought it was a few days ago. There's been some very positive news. They're in the city of Fort McMurray. 88,000 people were evacuated. And it was feared that everyone would have lost their homes. The town was succumbing to the flames. And the fire departments, the firefighters that came in from all over the place, plus all the ones that are central to there, they managed to save a huge amount. And I believe the last I just heard was 2,400 structures were lost, as opposed to 24,000.
That's pretty incredible.
And you told
me something very interesting. You said that there were two airlines in particular who volunteered to not only take residents out of the critical areas, but you sent me a picture that these airlines allowed people to take their animals right on the plane and let them sit in the seats in front of them and in the aisles. Let's give shout outs to these airlines first of all.
WestJet, and I believe the other one's called Canadian North. I believe it's more local to that area. WestJet is all across Canada, and they fly internationally as well. Canada North or Canadian North is a smaller, more localized airline, and as well Flair is another airline that does a lot of work with in and out of the oil fields there, which is what that whole area is, what their livelihood pretty much is. But WestJet was one of the big ones that there was some pictures taken of it, and they opened it up. And there was one person who I read his thing on Facebook, and he said the most incredible sight he'd ever seen was going through the smoke, and there was smoke and flames all around them as they made their way to the airfield. And they were on buses, and they really didn't know. They were being evacuated, and they really didn't know where they were headed. And they were just they were helped to get out. And
sure.
They arrived at an airfield, and he said there was 10 or 12 WestJet airplanes parked there, and they were just waiting to load up. And they just loaded people, pets, you name it. I mean, there was one guy said that there was a tree frog on one of them. And the pictures there was one picture that there was at least a Great Dane, a Spaniel, a Golden Retriever, and some other mixed breed probably, all right there visible within four seats within one row. Like the plane was packed with people and animals. And that's just the most incredible thing for people to be able to bring their animals, because they're not just animals. To most people, they're their family. And, you know, it's one thing to lose your home, but if you'd had to lose your pet as well, it's just devastating.
Oh, yeah. Well, isn't it true that a lot of people will not leave their pets in the time
yes.
of a disaster?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
You are particularly fond of one rescue organization. Would you please give the information to listeners, to all of you listening to this broadcast, please, I don't care if it's $5, please donate. Our neighbors to the north, and I'm in Florida, so I know, our neighbors to the north have always been kind and have helped us. Let us respond in kind. Who are you recommending? Those who want to take care, look after animals, where do you recommend they look for to donate to?
The one that is handling most of the animals now being evacuated from the town, animals that were left behind, because you realize this was the middle of the day and people were at school, at work and everything, and they were told
sure.
to get gone. They couldn't go home and get their pets. The roads were closed, that kind of thing. So these animals are all being brought out now. And apparently, from what I understand, it's the Edmonton Humane Society, Edmonton SPCA, that are
okay.
handling the evacuation of all these animals, and they're asking for donations and for crates, the big plastic crates, because they're already past
sure.
their capacity of animals.
So they need crates, they need blankets, they need food, they need medicine, but most of all they need money too. And
yeah.
they need volunteers, don't they?
I'm not certain what their situation is. That area is it's a lot of farming community and ranching community, and the people that are there, the boots on the ground there, have just done remarkable things, like just loading up their own pickup trucks with all the jerry cans and whatever they can to go up and meet the evacuating vehicles that have run out of gas on the highway, and they've loaded up, you know, feed for animals and everything. So
it's not only cats and dogs, it is farm animals as well,
oh, yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Horses,
all right.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Hold on one second. I'm going to ask our guest to come on now.
Okay.
Hi, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Tell us your name and who would you like to speak to, love?
Oh, I was just listening in. I have read several times Catherine Jane's book, and I saw
we
should
talk to Catherine.
On your show.
Just talk right
Hi,
to
Catherine.
Her.
Hi. How are you?
I'm awesome. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm an author also, S. Raven Storm, and I really enjoy your series of books. It's
Thank
wonderful
you.
That they're really not, to me, series, because you can read them as a standalone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I really, really, my favorite, that, well, I guess it's kind of a dark subject to me, and it started out dark anyway, I put it that way, was Touch Me. I love that book. It was very
yeah.
good. It was very interesting. It played with your mind. Sometimes you had to go back to reread a couple of pages in order to find out exactly where it was going. But the
yeah.
book was awesome. It was very good. You're
Thanks.
A very good storyteller and
Thanks.
Just riveting.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. And it's interesting you say that about Touch Me, because it's, I mean, I love all my books, but Touch Me still is really near and dear to my heart. And interestingly enough, so many people wrote to me and spoke about that book and how they loved Grace, the main character. And at the time, I hadn't intended to bring her into any of the other books. My series is mostly based on, it was going to be just on Intrepid Women. And I was writing the next book, and I'd received an email from a writer or from a reader about Grace. And I thought, that's interesting. And sure enough, that night as I was writing, Grace slipped out of my fingertips and into the keyboard and joined that book. And
wow.
Yeah, she's become quite the character. She's so real to me. She's just, I don't know, she's just the coolest person. I really enjoy every time she slips into another book, and I never know when it's going to happen. I'm one of those writers. I have no clue. I just put the fingers on the keyboard and it happens. But I'm so glad you love that book like I did.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, I did. It was very, I mean, from the very beginning of the book, it captured you. So that's why I remember it so much, because it was right from the beginning of the book, you were already in it.
Oh, wonderful.
I want to ask you something, Dahl. Have you read all of Catherine's books?
I have read 1, 2, 3, and I have not read 4. I think it's up to 6 now, right?
It is.
May we send you the brand new book, All She Wanted, Intrepid Women, Book 6, as a gift from Catherine and Authors on the Air?
Well, yes, that would be very nice.
Cool.
Okay. I would like you to go either to my page, which is Pam Stack. It'll say for Pam Stack, or you can go to the Authors on the Air page. I'd like you to send a PM and give me your email address, and we're going to send you a book. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe more.
That's Pam Stack.
That's correct. And my Facebook handle is the number 4, Pam Stack, and that's how you'll find me. And, of course, there's everything only about books on there and kitty cats. But we might just surprise you and send you one or two other things, okay? So send me, PM me your information, and you know, PM me your pages, too, and let me find out who you are.
Okay. That sounds great.
Yes. All right. I'm so glad you stayed on the line. Go ahead.
Well, me too. Catherine, please keep up the good work. I know you're far away, but you feel very near. So
much. gave me goosebumps. Thank you.
Thank you
so much for calling in. And
thank
I hope you have a lovely evening. Thank you for calling, but keep listening. Do you want me to just leave you on hold so you can listen?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold then, okay, Dahl?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I want to bring on author Selena Robbins. Selena, you and I talk a lot about all things Canada. I'm convinced that after this political season is over, I'm leaving and going to stay in your basement, which you promised to Mac Daddy out for me. Be prepared for the 5 cats that I'm bringing. But you are my go-to girl for all things, my go-to gal, friend, for all things Canada. Tell me what your take is on what's happening, and what do you hear from your friends who are kind of sort of close but not real close to the fire area?
Well, as soon as we heard, our city, everybody got together, and you know, you go into a grocery store, the bank, everywhere, and there's all kinds of fundraisers going on. You know, we went over to the bank, and right away we were able to contribute through the bank, which was really good and safe, because you have to be careful with online stuff these days, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be contributing to. And, you know, we've been glued to the TV and praying and very proud, actually, of our country, and especially of all the people in Fort Mac for, you know, keeping a cool head, and everybody's helping each other. The main thing is that nobody lost their lives. I've been through a fire when I was 17. Our home burned down.
So
these things are like a little trigger. You know, when I see that, I can –
sure.
I totally empathize with what they're going through, but, you know, life is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I'm not surprised. Like, people are saying, wow, they're lucky that there's no lives lost, but I'm not surprised because, you know, that area especially, people are well-trained for disasters. They're well-trained in first aid, in WMIS, they know that, not that they expected something like this, but they're organized enough
prepared.
Prepared. And,
yeah.
You know, of course, Ontario sent over, I believe it was 100 and some firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
And our Prime Minister is going to match dollar for dollar everything that we have raised. And so far, last I heard, we've raised close to $60 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
Considering that we only have 32 million people in Canada, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you said there's not a lot of wildlife in that area. Is that because when the smoke is in the air, they know to leave?
I think so, yes. But there are a lot of, you know, horses and farms.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it is my understanding that your first responders have been magnificent. And
yeah.
You have a place, Selena, for us to go ahead and send donations. And from what I hear, your government is matching donations up
yes.
to a certain amount. You said to me that even $5 makes a difference. So tell
yeah,
us
anything.
Where we should send. Tell us where to send money.
Okay, the best is through the Red Cross. Now I
and
know
give us the web address.
Okay.
Because I know it's different than here. It's redcross.ca, isn't it?
That's right, for Canada. But I think if, and they can text it. There's actually a text number to
okay,
give.
Okay, will you post that on Authors on the Air, please, on that
yes,
page?
I'll do
and
that.
And also on my timeline, and I'll share it amongst all the other shows as well. Please, 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 anything you can give is appreciated. The government is going to match it. And every little bit helps. A dollar buys a bottle of water, and that goes a long way. I want to get back to the lovely and talented Catherine Jane and talk more about your books. You know, I know that you were a horse trainer for a long, long time,
mm-hmm.
and yet writing romance is a fairly new pursuit for you, although reading romance is not, is it?
No. I've been reading.
So,
I've
yeah, tell me about that. Go ahead.
I was a reading kid. I ate books, I'm sure. My parents were sure
yep.
that I must have been eating them. And we went once a week to the library when I was a kid, and we were allowed 5 books. I'd get my 5, and I'd have them read probably by Sunday night. This was a Friday thing we did. And
sure.
I think by the time I was 10, we'd run out of books in the kids department that I had read. I hadn't, you know, I'd read them all. And so my mother was beside herself one day, and she looked at my older sisters, who are 6 and 7 years older than me, and said, could she read one of those romance books that you've got? Like, could you give us something for her to read? She's driving me crazy. And that was my first introduction to Harlequin romance. And then I would just, you know, slide into my sister's rooms and grab their books and read all their books, and it just morphed from there.
How did you decide to write?
Oh, that was interesting. I've always wanted to write. I was a teenager who wrote a lot of poetry and, you know, the angsty teenager thing.
Oh, anyways. Of course. Yes, I did that too. Of course.
Forlorn.
Oh, woe is me. The world is ending. The boy doesn't like me. I understand
oh, yeah.
that.
Yeah, all that stuff. But anyway, so I always wanted to, and I had a few friends that kind of encouraged me. And then I had never quite gotten around to, I'd written lots of short stories and things. I did take some creative writing classes in college. And then I realized one day I was about to turn 50. Within the next year, like when I just turned 49, and I thought, what have I done with the first half of my life? Because to me, you know, I'm going to make at least 100. And I thought, I have nothing to show for it. And I always wanted to write a book. So maybe I could write a book by the time I was 50, and that could be my accomplishment. And so I sat down one night at the computer. I was very new to the computer. And I just started pounding keys. And about a month and a half later, I typed the end and went, oh my God, I've written a book. I wonder if I could write another one. And so I wrote another
wow.
one. And yeah, they just kind of fell out of my fingertips. It was absolutely amazing, and I was in love. It was just the most wonderful experience. I thought I want to do this forever.
So Do Not Tell Me No was your first book that you published. And are you a self-published author?
Yes, I am. I've actually, Do Not Tell Me No was the fifth or sixth book that I've written, had written at the time. But it was the first one that was ready for publishing. And I did the thing, was going to do the regular publishing, and I was submitting books and manuscripts. And I always came across the same problem. I would have an editor say to me, love the book, but could you take out the mystery part and just make it a contemporary romance? Or could you take out the little bit of paranormal in there and just have a straight suspense? And they always wanted me to change the book. And because they need to be able to shelve it. I mean, they have a job to do. Sell it to the bookstore and say, this is a paranormal, or this is a mystery, or whatever. And I just wasn't willing to change my stories for them. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to gamble. It can't hurt. What the heck? I'm making a living doing other things. This was a hobby at the time. And so I tried self-publishing, and I love it. I have full control over my books, my covers. Do Not Tell Me No, I actually, since I was going to put it up for free on all areas, I looked at it and I went, you know, this needs a little more editing before I can actually say this is a good example of my writing, because I've become better at the craft. So I pulled it down 6 months ago. I took it off the shelves of the bookstores. The virtual bookstores, and I did a massive edit on it, and I put it back out there, and I made it permanently free. So anyone who wants an introduction to my books can pick that book up for free and get an idea of what kind of books I write and my style, and if they're interested. And it's been a good thing. Lots of people are buying the books. Yeah.
How wonderful. Selena, you must have questions, because you also write some romance, and you write some young adult. What would you like to ask Catherine?
How do you keep sane?
How do you what? How do you keep sane? Okay.
Sanity is highly overrated.
I haven't gone the indie route yet. I'm going to the next one, and I'm quite nervous about it.
Yeah.
So you highly recommend it?
I do. It really works for me. I participate in some online loops. One that's guided and was developed and started by Marie Force, who is she was self-publishing. She actually has done some traditional as well, has just got a couple contracts.
Yes, she has.
Yeah,
yes, she has.
And, it works really well for me. It's not for everybody, but I think it's something that everybody could try and see if it works for them. I actually teach workshops on some of that. I do. I love teaching. That's one of my other sort of hobbies that morphed into being more than a hobby. And I teach writers, quite a few. It's all for writers, and there's one that is how to approach self-publishing, like just the intro. What kind of things are you going to have to know? What kind of things will you need to do? And then there's the one is self-editing, just some tips and tricks on how to self-edit, not actually what is good grammar, what isn't good grammar, but how to actually spot it in your own work, because spotting anything in your own work is really difficult. There's some great tips and tricks that I have for that. The others I teach are about horses for fiction writers. Lots of writers, I titled it, What Do You Do When a Horse Shows Up? Because I've had all kinds of writers say to me, God, I was writing this book and the heroine, she wants to have a horse. Like, this horse wants to be in the book, and I don't know anything about horses. I don't want to screw it up and sound stupid. And lots of those kind of writers take my course because I talk horses. And I help them with that. I also proofread for horses. And another subject that's near and dear to me is PTSD. And I did a paper in college on PTSD that earned me a national scholarship and stuff. So I've taken that and I've offered that to writers, because many, especially in the romance area, write about PTSD. And lots of people have very poorly informed about it. And
that's right.
It's something that is huge, really important. Like I say, very near and dear to my heart. I have lots of personal experience that direction. So I just want writers to be able to do a good job of it and feel confident. So that's another one that I teach. So, yeah, and emergency preparedness, which that comes into what we're doing tonight. I teach that to anyone who will listen to me. It's something that I took in college, and again, near and dear to me, how to be prepared and the little things that you you don't think about, and little just details like knowing what your medications are, having a picture of your dog, silly things like that that are end up being very, very important. You know, there's people.
Well, what to do if you have someone who's disabled in your house, or
exactly.
a special needs child, or a companion animal who's special needs?
Exactly.
You would have to know how to handle all those things.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and special diets and all. Yeah. I can just imagine the list.
Oh,
so
that's medication. You know,
yeah.
I heard some people, you know, they were downtown or they were at work, and they were
yeah.
told you can't go home. You can't. You just
yeah.
can't. And so
yeah.
they have their medication there or a pet. I don't even want to think about having a pet alone,
oh, yeah.
you know, having to leave your pet.
Yeah.
There's just so much that they're involved.
Exactly. And it's something people don't like to think about. I live in an earthquake zone, and they're constantly telling us that, you know, the big one's coming, you know, and when it comes, it's going to be, you know, that's the end of things. Your buildings are gone and everything else. So that's what we prepare for. So, you know, I keep a cat crate, for my cat. It's, in a certain place, it's right near an outside window so that if I had to get out the window, that's so I could stuff the cat in there. And inside the cat crate, I have food for him so that if I have to go out the window and, you know, we're out on the street or in a tent or whatever, I've at least got some food for the cat for the beginning. And, yeah, it's, you know, and being around horses, I once faced, actually, I was working on a ranch or managing a ranch in a fire zone, and there was a wildfire coming our way, and we had over 50 horses. Well, you can't just get trailers and trucks and get them out of there. And I laid awake one night going, how am I going to get these horses safe? What can I possibly do? And by morning, I had worked out a plan, and I would ride the one, and I would lead, and it was particular horses because they were herd leaders among them.
Right,
so,
right.
So that I would have them, one on either side of me, that the other horses would all come along with us. And I had worked out a route where gates were and how I could pack the bolt cutters and things to cut through fences. And I had worked out a really neat plan, and I had the two cans of orange paint to spray on their sides so that anybody finding one would go, oh, this is one of those ones with the orange paint. That belongs to this person. You need to be able to put some kind of a mark on them. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to have to talk to you because I'm planned for hurricanes because
yeah.
I've lived in Florida all my life.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, those are remarkable. We're going to have to do a preparedness show because that's a really great idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's next for you on your books, Catherine? Have you ever had the desire to step out of your genre and maybe try something a little different?
Oh, funny you should ask.
Uh-huh.
I have another nonprofit organization that's become very, very dear to me. It's called Tiny Kittens, tinykittens.com. And the woman that runs it, Shelley Roche, she started just this thing, helping out kittens and cats, and she's working with ferals now. And she's on live stream 24/7 with the cats and the kittens. And she has followers that are like thousands of people around the world watching kittens. And it's really crazy. But anyways, everybody, you know, she runs the whole organization on donations. She's just recently had an amazing rescue. He's 9 months old now, but 7 months ago she found him with no back legs. And he was only like about 6 weeks old. Anyways, she's he's become an international star. He's actually going to get leg implants from an incredible man at a university in North Carolina. Anyways, back to that. Because I wanted to help out and be able to donate in some way, and as an author, I'm like any artist, you know, struggling from the bottom up. It's a marathon, not a race. So you're working your way. I don't have tons of cash I can give away. But I decided I could write a book for her and for the organization. And they have, they support and feed a colony of over 200 feral cats. And we're constantly hearing their stories. And she's bringing the feral cats in. And the one that she's got right now, Skye, they trapped and rescued her because she was pregnant. Plus, she has lost the sight in one eye. And it looked like she was losing the sight in the other. And she was not going to be able to raise her kittens in the wild. That was like a total, you know, this was going to be a complete loss. So they trapped her, brought her in. She's actually become very tame. She delivered her kittens by C-section in the end because she was just in trouble. So again, she wouldn't have lived in the wild. And but there's all kinds of stories like that that come from this feral colony, these forest cats that live out in a rural area. And they're just cool stories. And I started writing stories about them and about a guardian angel in the forest who is helping to get the other, get the cats to come for help. Anyways, it's a little bit fairy tale-ish, but it's really fun to write. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. And once it's done, I'll be donating it to Tiny Kittens. Once the production costs have been covered, then it'll belong to Tiny Kittens, and all the money that's earned from the book will go to them. So,
fabulous!
Yeah, that's my stepping outside the genre thing.
I love that. I love that very much. Selena, let's talk again. Ottawa is matching donations for, I just looked it up, matching Red Cross donations. The site is redcross.ca.
That's right.
You can direct your donation to Fort Mac. And for the residents, you can direct your donations to the first responders if you want, because they are heroic. The first responders, the fire jumpers, the firefighters, and all the surrounding areas, and everyone who's gone in to help. It is thousands. It's just the miles that this is covered. It's just amazing, right?
Yeah.
And they don't know when they'll be able to put the fire out.
No.
If they don't get, you know, some heavy duty rain, this it's ongoing.
Yeah. The only saving grace is that it's now not threatening people. You know, but it's still, now it's moving towards another province. So it's going to jump over into Saskatchewan and it's nasty.
Okay.
Well, the good thing about the donating to the Red Cross is that the lion's share is going to go right to the evacuees.
Yes.
And also
for those who
lost
their homes, and for those who need shelter while their homes are being rebuilt, and even if it's just temporary, it gives them food, a roof over their head, it gives them clothing, it gets them medicine, their children are being cared for. Those are the most important things, correct?
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, I want to ask you both, I'm going to kind of do it back and forth. I want to give a shout-out to Canadian authors, and I'm going to start off by giving a shout-out to Claude Boucher and Joanne Chase, who are two of my favorite people ever, and I know that you know them also, Selena, but I'm going to ask you to give a shout-out to a Canadian author, please.
To me?
Besides yourself. Yeah, Selena.
Oh, Rosanna Leo. She's in Toronto.
Catherine?
She's a real
sweetheart. Oh, good. She writes what?
She writes contemporary and also paranormal.
Fabulous. Spell her last name.
Leo, L-E-O. Her first name is Rosanna.
Okay.
And she's Italian.
Well, there you go. Of course you're going to say that. Catherine Jane. give us some names of Canadian authors that we can give shout-outs to.
I'll give you two right off
okay.
the top. One is Loris Ann White.
Okay.
And she lives in the Whistler area, not all that far, a couple hours away from me. Beautiful area. And she's she writes romantic suspense, but real heavy in the suspense. Yeah, she's awesome. I believe she used to write Harlequins. I don't think she does
okay.
anymore. And the other
okay.
one is Toni Anderson. That's just T-O-N-I. And Toni, again, she's romantic suspense. She's in Winnipeg. And
oh, we never hear about Winnipeg.
No,
yeah.
Winnipeg. And she's actually quite, it's always cute. I get a kick out of, she's a marine biologist, actually from
really?
The UK. Yeah, and she couldn't live further from an ocean if she tried. Like, she is in the
oh.
dead of the continent. So it's kind of funny. But, yeah, they're great friends.
I do. Either of you know any of the first responders, or have any connection with any of the first responders, or friends in the fire ravaged areas?
No, thankfully, no.
Okay. Yeah, actually, there's an author, Julie Rowe, who safely evacuated. I don't know Julie personally, but she's actually part of one of my groups. And
okay, good.
I connected with her, and her and her family are all out safely, and they've got somewhere to stay and whatnot. And
good.
the last she, I believe they, I'm pretty sure their house survived. I don't take that as gospel, but I think their house is okay. So they got out, their pets out, their vehicles and everything. So they.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Catherine, one of the things that I heard, and it blows me away because I love it so much, is that residents are taking in evacuated residents, whole families at a time, and
yep.
giving them shelter.
Yep.
This is the Canadian hospitality that is so famous, and I love that. I want to give kudos to all of you for, you know, whatever contributions you're making to the effort, every little bit helps. I want to thank Selena Robbins for being with me tonight, my kind of backup here when my internet went down. Thank you, Selena. I love you dearly. And
thank you.
You and I will talk again. You will be a co-host again, won't you?
Oh, I'd love to, yes.
Awesome.
Okay, and come back as a guest too.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, Selena.
Thanks,
Selena.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet
okay.
you.
Okay. Good night, honey. Bye.
Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Catherine Jane, my dear friend, I'm so glad that we had this chance to talk. I'm so glad that we talked about so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
I love your books. You know that already. I think we should do another giveaway on All She Wanted. Don't
oh,
you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to post on your Facebook page
mm-hmm.
a little contest. And the first person who can get the question right is going to go ahead and win another book. Okay. Will that work?
That's excellent.
And I'm going to PM you and tell you what the question's going to be. And you're going to laugh at me when I tell you. All right.
Okay.
Will you come back again? And here, let me ask you this. How about if you get one of your author friends and you come back and interview them?
Oh, sure. That would be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
All right. I am so thrilled that you and I finally had this chance to talk. Thank you for spending so much time with me. And thank you again for telling us about what's happening in Canada. And our love from the States and every place around the world that listens to us go out to you Canadians, and we hope you stay safe. And, boy, you are a people for us to aspire to be. Thank you for being with me.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, and thank you for being so supportive. That's awesome.
Absolutely. I how could we be any other way? Thank you, Catherine Jane. Go buy her books. They are marvelous. Strong Women. Yes, we love it.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Kat. Talk to you soon, okay?
Bye-bye.
by tomorrow night, I'm going to be talking to Steve Conkley, who has written probably the best post-apocalyptic book I've read this year compared to the one he wrote last year and the year before. Stay with me, 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Thank you very much for being with me. Support Canada. Go ahead and make those donations, redcross.ca, and also to the Edmonton SPCA. Thank you so much. Have a nice evening, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Bye.